One of my favorite principles is, for instance, the principle of eternity. If there is a beginning to something, there will be an end to something. Or another one, say like the snowflake principle, is no two physical forms are exactly the same, just like no two snowflakes are exactly the same. But all these principles, and I have a compilation of 60 different principles, and I'm have to bring that up to 100. Maybe I'll publish a book of various principles. But once you understand the principle of something, like for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, the principles of duality, the principles of male and female, behind male and female. But all these principles, once you understand the principle, a principle is worth 1,000 facts, but it takes over 1,000 facts to create the understanding of one principle. So when the soul communicates through a principle, it can give you a whole book's worth of knowledge in just an instant, because it communicates in principles rather than data itself. Okay, any other questions?
I have a question. Yeah. This might be a dumb question. For people who have had near-death experiences, mm-hmm. have they had soul contact at that moment?
Yeah, most of them have. Whenever we have a near-death experience or an actual death experience, you actually merge with your soul to a great degree after when this happens. So the person with a near-death experience does merge with the soul, but some people come back from a near-death experience with illusions, because in the other world, there's all kinds of different thought forms available. A lot of people in near-death experience think they saw Jesus, and they didn't really see Jesus. They might have seen some other being that was just helping him out, and or might have seen some type of thought form that was materialized by his soul itself. But the chances that he actually saw Jesus was pretty slim. But a lot of people that have these near-death experiences think they saw Jesus, and if they're Buddhists, they think they see Buddha. And some of them see the actual reality. They actually go there, and they see family and friends, and maybe they'll see their grandfather, and the grandfather will tell them, hey, it's not your time, you got to go back. And that was probably, something like that was probably a real occurrence where he saw something like that. Yeah, there's truth to be garnered from the near-death experiences. And the person does have merging with a soul at death or near death. You know. And, okay, anything else?
Okay, so similar to that, so does past life regressions allow a person to kind of build towards that soul contact, or try to establish a link there?
No, it doesn't really do a lot to increase soul contact itself. It just brings information available for the person. Now, once in a while, well, if you have take a person through a very spiritual experience they had in a past life, then that can have an influence on them, and they'll think, boy, you know, in this past life I was doing a lot better than I'm doing now. And I kind of ignored the spiritual path, and back then I was on it. And so in something like that may bring him closer to the soul. But normally it doesn't really do a lot to enhance soul contact itself. It's just good to know who you might have been, you know. Okay.
So I have a crazy technical question then. If soul contact is me in contact with my own soul, what's it called when the message comes from them to me? What's that called?
Who's them?
Any higher entity, master, teacher, angel, I don't care, but any higher entity that delivers a download or message or intuition, whatever, what's that called?
Well, it depends on how he delivers it. If he delivers it through an impression given to you, then that can come because you had the door of the soul open. Uh-huh. But contacting the other entities isn't soul contact. It's a soul contact that opens the door for spiritual entities. Now, some people that have very low soul contact have energies or different entities contact them of a fairly low evolved nature, But that's because they did something to leave the wrong door open, you know. But soul contact opens the right door, so you'll have benevolent contacts, whatever they are.
Yeah. What's it called?
What's what called?
When you have the contact of a benevolent, when a benevolent person contacts you.
Lucky.
Yeah. What's it called when you talk to me? I mean, we just having a conversation. There's no special name for it. It's just like, what's our conversation called? I'm a benevolent entity talking to you.
Yeah. Maybe she means something like the word revelation or inspiration. That's what I got.
Well, it could be called channeling, I guess, if you were doing some channeling, you know. But channeling is unconscious. You go into unconscious state, and then the some entity takes over your body and speaks through you. That's not soul contact. That's just channeling.
Yeah.
And that's operates. So, that operates through the astral body.
You've talked about this before. The different levels of psychism go along with the different planes, right? Their physical psychism would be instinct, and the astral emotional psychism, you know, is emotion based psychic stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's mental, and then there's buddhic, you know, or intuitive. What is the name of the psychism that's available in the mental plane?
Well, no particular name. It's just higher and lower psychism is what
it's higher psychism than emotional psychism.
Right.
But you said when
psychism through the astral body is lower psychism. Psychism through the intuitive part of yourself is higher psychism. And that's done in full consciousness.
The one in the mental plane is done in full consciousness,
right,
where the emotional one is...
Is you let somebody take over, and normally you don't remember anything that happened.
Like Edgar Cayce.
Yeah.
Channeling.
Yeah.
Channeling.
Regular channeling,
yeah.
And some of them are kind of average in intelligence, and some of them are fairly high intelligence, like Seth was an intelligent astral entity.
Following up on Rain's question, and I'm coming at this from the box that I was in.
Scriptures say angels speak the words of Christ, and if you ask them, they will teach you all things that you should say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that at the same level, or are we talking about a different contact here because of that source issue? I think is that what you were trying to get at?
Yeah.
I have the same question. I'm trying to position this correctly in my mind.
Yeah, you're quoting the Book of Mormon there, which tells us that angels speak the words of Christ. In other words, what that's saying is that entities on the other side that are truly working benevolently to assist mankind, you know, they are tuned in to the oneness principle. And they're contacted the spiritual internet. And on the spiritual internet are the minds of Christ on down to everybody that's fairly evolved. Part of their mind is on that spiritual internet. And so when any of these benevolent beings come and assist us or speak to us, they speak the same type of words that Christ himself would speak if he was there.
And they can convey.
So it's not that they speak the words of Christ and they channel Christ and say, okay, Jesus, what do you have to say? It's that they would say the same thing. Like, I've taught Artie a lot of things, and sometimes when I hear her teach somebody else, I think, well, she's saying exactly what I would say if I were to teach it. So she's really teaching the words of J.J. Dewey in a way, you know. And this is the way that the Christ principle works, is we have that spiritual internet, and if you, Lorraine, tune into it, then, and you teach somebody else, and you're actually teaching the words of Christ. You know, just like the scriptures say. Okay.
Do you still have to run, even that, if it's angels or whatever you beg it, you still have to run past soul contact.
Right, if you're on the receiving end, don't trust anything unless it registers with your soul.
Right. Usually when it comes, it feels pretty good.
What I was thinking of is the Akashic Records, that each soul is surrounded by an Akashic Record, which is everything that has ever happened to them in their lives. And entities who come in to help us can tune in to the Akashic Records. In fact, Chiron's Lightkeepers have talked about it. The Earth also has an Akashic Record, which is recorded every event that has ever happened on the Earth.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, the trouble with the Akashic Records is with the normal psychics, that they try to tune into them, not judging Sharon or any other person that does this, but a lot of them create, it's like a kaleidoscope for them, where they see just all kinds of things, and unless a person is close to being a master, he has a hard time reading them correctly. So when you go to a lot of these psychics, they'll tell you some things that, boy, you're right on, and then they'll tell you something else, boy, I missed that one by a mile. It's because it's like they're seeing a lot of stuff in circulation. They're not reading it all correctly. A person just about has to be a master to be able to read the Akashic Records correctly. And not very many people can. I've never met anyone in the flesh that's capable of it.
Edgar Casey?
No, Edgar Casey was right probably maybe half the time. You know, he wasn't right all the time. Even DK, his predictions he made, maybe 60% accurate. If anyone's more than 50% accurate in, like, predictions, well, he's pretty close to being a true prophet. Joseph Smith was maybe 50-60% accurate. As far as reading other people, it's a little bit the same. Not too many people have a high degree of accuracy. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we'll go into the next section. Curtis is speaking around either 4 or 4:30, I can't remember.
4.
4? Okay.
Yeah, one more question.
Okay, one more question.
Okay, I'll do it. On that, what did you call it?
Akashic
record?
Yeah.
My understanding is our brains record everything that we see, feel, think, touch.
Well, our brains do, but when we die, our brains deteriorate, of course, but then our astral bodies record everything, and they're connected to the Akashic Records, which exist in the spirit world. And in the spirit world, we have these records that are very accurate of the entire history of the Earth and the history of each person.
Does the Akashic Records brain stimulation has shown that you can recall the thoughts, feelings, taste, smell of an event.
Your physical brain records everything, but that's also recorded in your astral body.
So they're separate,
yeah,
but... Right. Correlated.
We have like three.
We have like backup hard drive.
We have three permanent atoms.
That's all you needed to say.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have several permanent atoms. We have the physical, the astral, the mental, and then other permanent atoms besides that. And these permanent atoms we take with us from life to life, and they have the memory of everything. So none of the memories is ever lost. Maybe. When the universe folds up, I'm not sure what happens then, but we probably start fresh. But in this universe, we carry the memories of everything with us, so none of them are ever lost. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then I'll cover another subject, and then real quick, and then we'll turn it over to Curtis.